Welcome to the Alex Ford Podcast, where we bring you the latest strategies to build a six or seven figure online business and quit your 9-to-5 job. You'll hear from the best online entrepreneurs, the top marketers, and the rising stars who are making it happen right now. Right now. Every week, you'll get actionable steps to turn your digital marketing dream into a profitable and rewarding full-time career. Here's your host, entrepreneur, world-class trainer, and marketing strategist, Alex Ford.
So welcome to the Alex Ford Podcast. Today we have a special guest, Brian Brewer. So Brian started his career in the restaurant industry, but found his passion for digital marketing after becoming a father. So I'm excited to have him on here because he too has been in this online game, in the online world for over a decade, and he has a wealth of knowledge to share. So today, Brian is a seven-figure earner, a super affiliate, and he's coached and mentored thousands of students to build a profitable online business and quit their 9-to-5 jobs. And my favorite thing about Brian is that he really is one of the good guys online. You see, in a world where there's so many fake gurus and people trying to take advantage of you, you know, Brian really stands out because he truly values people. And from what I've seen, he is of utmost integrity. Brian, say hello to the listeners and share with them. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Yeah. Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show here today. And hi to everyone who is tuning in and listening. It's great to be here. It's my pleasure to be here. Hopefully I can serve you and bring some value today. I'm really excited to be on the podcast. I absolutely love podcasts because while courses and mentorship and training and all that stuff is really good to help you when you're trying to improve your life, whether it be in business or your health or anything along those lines, those are great for the way that they bring information together and kind of keep you on track. But podcasts, I think, are fantastic for getting those little golden nuggets that you weren't quite expecting or you weren't sure how to find. Sometimes those are the things that really propel you forward. So it's an honor to be here. Let's talk about superpowers, right? If I could have a superpower, what would it be? And the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, I'd love to have a superpower in life and I'd love to have a superpower in business. I think those would be separate. So if I could choose two, I would. But since you said one, and since I'm on here for my affiliate marketing experience and not anything I've done in the parenting world, I'll just stick to business, I think, today. So if I could have one superpower, something that I was just incredible at, that would complement what I already have, I think it would be the ability to be the best salesperson on earth. I think that would just be absolutely amazing. And the reason I bring that up is because, as Alex said, I have generated well over $1 million online. I've been an affiliate marketer for many years. I consider myself a really good marketer. But we also have to remember that if we really want to move forward, then we have to work on our weaknesses as well. So I always consistently and constantly try to improve my sales, which is different than marketing in my mind. But if I could just say, all right, I snap my fingers and I'm going to be the best at this, have this superpower, it would definitely be sales, because I think once I had that, the marketing and sales, I think I could probably become a billionaire pretty easily. So hopefully that's a good answer for you, Alex. Once again, it's great to see you here today.
So that's amazing, Brian. And look, I absolutely love your response, because I know a lot of people on here are going to be listening or watching and they're going to be like, what, sales? Do I have to do sales? And, when you build a business. And for me, going back before this online world over a decade, I used to say to myself, like, I had this limiting belief that I'm just not a salesperson and I hated it and all of that. But getting into the online world, and I think you probably would agree, might have a similar experience. You get into it, and sales, well, one, it's really just communication, right? How do you communicate better with people to influence? And in fact, you've got kids. And when you speak to a kid to get them to do something, we're in an act of sales to try to influence them, to get them to do something. So it's like when we get into business, looking at having that superpower of sales doesn't mean you're going to be this icky salesperson, used car salesperson. It just means becoming a better communicator. And ultimately, your whole life improves, right? Your business, your communication, your relationships, your kids and all that. So I think that's amazing. And I don't think, I personally don't think it's anything, something people shouldn't be afraid of when they're building a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to clarify, you know, I'm talking about sales at scale as well. You know, I have no real desire. Most of my business is marketing and automation. I have no real desire to talk to 100 people a day one-on-one, to be honest with you. That's not how I wanted to structure my business. But yeah, like you said, to communicate in a way that drives an absolute frenzy of buyers, I think that would just be pretty cool, because I think there's some people, you know, you listen to them and you just want to buy from them for whatever reason. And it's the way they communicate probably their story and the opportunity and the benefits and all that stuff. But, you know, the thing is you focus on compensating for your weaknesses by relying and leveraging your strengths. And if you become a really good marketer, you don't have to focus as much on sales, I think, because people come knocking on your door ready to buy.
Exactly. And then sales doesn't really become sales sort of thing. Like the way that you sell is, like you said, some people, you just want to buy from them, but those people, they're not coming across as salesy. It's just this attractive, you know, like the caringness and wanting to help and just pour their value into people. And that in itself is sales, and that's what attracts people. So anyways, that's an awesome superpower, and it's definitely something that I continually work on always, because every time I do, it impacts my business in a positive way too. So that's awesome. So Brian, okay, so I've known you for a few years now. I've learned from you. I've followed you. I was actually on one of your podcast on your podcast as well recently, which was a lot of fun, and we're going to talk about that later as well. But I'd love for you to share a little bit about your story so that people can get to know you a bit as well, especially those that don't know who you are. So basically, what led you to finding the digital marketing industry? So where were you before? What's your story? And then what was that defining moment that made you pull the trigger and just jump right into all this?
Yeah, I, like most people, got started out of necessity. So I won't go too far back, but really quickly, I went to Michigan State University. Thought I wanted to be an engineer because I was good at math and everyone told me I should be an engineer. And then I got to my freshman year of Michigan State University, took Calc 2 to start, and realized I didn't want to be an engineer anymore. So I ended up in food industry management, not really knowing what I wanted to do, knew that the food industry was a great opportunity. It was a great program that was a combination of agribusiness management and supply chain management. Supply chain management seemed like something that would be relevant for life. So I thought, okay, let's do it. But when I graduated, I didn't want to necessarily get a job in the field and didn't know how to. And I decided to go into the restaurant industry for a little while. I knew it was easy money and, you know, it could allow me to live in cool places, because generally where cool places are, the cool restaurants are. And generally, if you're at a cool restaurant, you can make good money. So I did that in Michigan for a while. Managed a restaurant there in Royal Oak, Michigan. While I was there, I hired a girl who ended up becoming my girlfriend, later my wife, and then mother of my two children. But after we were together for a little while, we both decided we did not want to be in Michigan and we wanted to kind of escape. So we did. We sold everything, and really we gave it away to a friend of ours. His sister had come out of some troubled times, got herself an apartment, needed furniture, needed everything. So we just gave it to her. And she was nice enough to give us what she could. I think it was like $50 or something. But then we packed two suitcases. We boarded a plane to Portland, Oregon. And the only thing we had waiting for us in Portland, Oregon was a one-night hotel reservation. We figured we'd just figure it out when we get there. And we kind of did, but it took a little bit longer. It was a little bit more of a struggle. Every morning for 5 days, I would walk down to the hotel lobby with my head hanging low saying, "We haven't found an apartment yet. Can we extend our stay one more night?" And luckily they allowed us to stay there for the decent rate that we had gotten for 5 days until we landed an apartment, eventually found jobs in the restaurant industry still. So that worked out great. Spent about 4 years there. Was there at a great time, kind of before it had become what maybe it transitioned to now. It was really at the turning point from old Portland to new Portland. The food was amazing, but it still had that cool lager town vibe, I guess. And when we got married there, we immediately, after returning from our wedding in Las Vegas, Nevada, we got pregnant, decided, wow, if we have this baby here in Portland, we're going to be stuck in Portland forever. And we want to see more things. So we did the most logical thing and people do when they get pregnant is we quit both of our jobs and moved 1,000 miles south to San Diego, which is where both of our kids were born. I was once again working in the restaurant industry, waiting tables this time because I know I could probably make better money and I could have a little bit more freedom. You know, restaurant managers are pretty in demand and it's hard to get away. So I did that. And then our first child was born. Our daughter was born in June, and this was June of 2012. And then right around October of 2012, the restaurant industry starts to get slow in San Diego during the wintertime, right before Christmas, and things got tight. And it got really tight. And I'll never forget it. It was kind of right around my wife's birthday, and I really couldn't afford to buy her anything that year because I had a couple bad weeks in the restaurant business. And when you're waiting tables, it's not paycheck to paycheck, it's shift to shift. So that's kind of when I had that aha moment, or not that aha moment, but that come to Jesus moment, as they say, or that harsh realization that this wasn't going to work out. I needed more security now that I had a family and a daughter to provide for. My wife was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to keep it that way. And I knew I needed to do something, and I didn't want to miss out on all future events, whether that be basketball or horse riding or, you know, whatever events my daughter was into. I didn't want to miss out on those because I had to wait tables, and I didn't want to miss Easter's and Christmas Eve's and stuff because I was waiting tables. So I did what everybody does. I went online, having no real sellable skills, and just Googled, how do you make money online, and saw all the usual suspects and opportunities, and realized I didn't have, you know, $10,000 to buy any inventory. I certainly couldn't start a physical storefront. I didn't have the time to take on clients, and I didn't really know, if I'm being quite honest, what sort of service I'd provide to the clients if I did. So I was like, oh, you know, here's this affiliate marketing thing. It makes sense. I can promote other people's products. I can make commissions. If I use content, I can create content when I have time. And hopefully that content will work as an evergreen traffic source while I didn't have time, and I could still make money passively or in my sleep or while I was away. And I started with blogging, product review blogs for affiliate programs like Amazon and such like that. And that was, you know, a little bit of a struggle. It was hard to learn a new skill. You know, we didn't have TikTok and Instagram Reels and Facebook Reels back then. So it was a slow process, but I learned. I got good at SEO, and I ended up ranking some blogs. The first one I ranked was, you know, a niche blog. That's what everyone told me, niche or niche, depending on where you're from, I suppose. And you'll find a niche or niche and create an authority blog on it. It's like, okay, great. That's what I did. I was like, let me find an underserved niche with growth potential that I could probably rank some pages for. And so I chose like magnesium and calcium supplements. And I ranked some pages and I made a little bit of money. I think I got that up to about $600 a month in, you know, pretty passive income other than writing a blog post a couple times a week. But what I realized is if you find an underserved market, there's not really any money to be made. So that was disappointing. I couldn't scale that at all. So I had to kind of shift from there.
Wow. It's so firstly, I mean, about that, your story, I love that you shared kind of that journey still a bit far back before going into online business, because usually people's stories usually like, oh, you know, I was broke, in debt, hated my job, and then I found something. But the way you shared it, like, you're a real person, Brian. You're a real human being, right? You've been through everything I think most people go through in terms of, you're right, trying to figure out, I mean, you know, really finding what it is that you want to do, going down the engineering path, the, you know, the university college path. But then from what I noticed, it's like you haven't really found your passion, that thing that lights you up, right? And I think everyone tends to go through that. And a lot of people might not even know they're in that phase of life where they're just maybe lost. I've been there as well. And you just don't know. Like, you don't know there's other options. You don't know you could have a better life. But I think it's amazing you found digital marketing in 2012, you said. Yeah. And I love that you shared that you started with blogging, SEO. Because I got started around then as well, 2011. And yes, blogging, SEO, Facebook ads were coming kind of on the scene at that point. It's tough to a degree when you're learning that, because it's I learned it a bit of it, but it's very technical, especially now that there's a lot of aspects to it where, you know, you mentioned TikTok and IG Reels now. It's just become such a simpler game. But yeah, so blogging, SEO, and
yeah. So the thing about blogging and SEO is that taught me that, you know, I could learn skills that would translate into money. And I learned a couple of things back through that process of creating that first blog. If I could just share some insight, maybe with hindsight, for the listener. And the first thing I learned is once you learn a skill, then you always have it. And that's what was amazing. I took that skill of blogging and SEO, which took me a long time to learn in the beginning, and I really struggled with it. And I applied it to another niche that was much bigger. And guess what? It didn't take nearly as long to start seeing results. And because I had learned from my mistakes and more importantly, adjusted because of the mistakes that I made, that one actually started doing really well. And for me at the time, doing really well as I think I was making around $3,000 to $4,000 a month. So that was really cool. That was kind of my first big win. You know, I was like, oh man, I remember that first time I got the commission payment for $1,800, and I showed it to my wife really proudly. And that's kind of the point where my life changed. And what got me to that point was the other piece of insight that I wanted to share. And that is the motivation factor, because when I first got started, it was really hard. It was really lonely. Nobody knew what I was doing. Even my wife didn't really know anything about the potential. And I was doing all this work on the side in my free time, and it wasn't really producing any results. That could be really frustrating, and that could really give you the feeling of wanting to give up. But the reason I didn't give up, looking back once again with hindsight being 2020, wasn't because I wanted to be super rich or make all this money, right? Like, that's cool, but that's not enough. I don't think that's not enough to drive us forward. You know, that's a nice shiny carrot or whatever to go after, but that it only goes so far. What really gave me the motivation to stick to it and keep pounding away and keep grinding until I got it was the pain of the future that I might live and provide for my family if I didn't figure it out, right? And the reason that's important, the reason I wanted to bring that up, is because the pain is a bigger motivator than the potential pleasure, right? I heard a story the other day from a study, and I we just want to mention that I didn't fact check this, so it could be wrong. But the way I heard the story is that Jordan Peterson, who a lot of people probably know from YouTube, talked about this study where there was these rats, and they hooked a spring to the tail of the rat, and they put him in a tube. And the purpose of the spring was to measure the tension or the strength at which they pulled. So they put these rats in this tube with this spring hooked to their tail, and they didn't feed them for a couple days or however long it was. And what they noticed is when they would waft cheese in front of the tube, the rat would pull after it because it was really hungry. It was really starving, and it wanted that carrot. It wanted that cheese, right? The proverbial carrot. And they would pull with X amount of tension. But when they would, you know, waft the scent of a cat or the sound of a cat behind them, the rat would pull harder with more tension. Meaning the fear of getting eaten, right, so to speak, is a more powerful driver and actually propels us to try harder than the big shiny object that is money. So hopefully you could take that into your life. And instead of thinking, oh, I want to make $10,000 a month like I see all these people online, think about what will happen if you don't go for it, if you don't go for it in the face of adversity, and when things get tough, if you don't continue going, you know, what's that future going to look like? And I think that's a much better motivator.
Yeah, definitely. Look, that's powerful. I mean, what you just shared, I was going to ask you, like, you know, what are some of the struggles that you've encountered in your business? And clearly you have had some struggles and that is one of the biggest motivations. Well, for me as well, it's like the carrot and the stick, right? The carrot's powerful, but the stick's going to be more powerful. And ultimately, that's definitely what's going to drive us. One question, and before we go into this question, actually, could you just share a little bit about the success you've created more recently? Because I kind of hinted at that, but we kind of haven't finished that part of your story. because then, you know, the next question will make more sense if people understand, well, where are you now? Like, who the heck is Brian today, right?
Yeah, let's move forward. Yeah, so this is where the story gets really good. And this is kind of my favorite part of the story. So we were living in San Diego and I started seeing a little bit of success. And we had another child 20 months later. So our kids are 20 months apart. So I have a girl and a boy. And now we're into like 2014-ish, right? And, you know, I finally start making a little bit of money, not enough to quit my job, right? So here I am still working 50, 60 hours a week in the restaurant industry because rent's expensive and now we have two kids and all that stuff. But now I'm working on this side hustle that's showing potential. So now it's kind of like I have two jobs. So the money was better, but I don't know how long I could have sustained that. So a couple of years go by and 2015. So I guess another year goes by. 2015 comes along. This is March of 2015. We moved to Dallas, Texas. And the reason we moved from San Diego to Dallas, Texas is because when we were living in San Diego with two kids, our closest relative was in Dallas, Texas. And we didn't want to go back to Michigan. So we figured, let's go try out Dallas. And my wife's brother lives in Dallas. So we did. This time we did it a little more cautiously. We found a place to live before we moved. And we brought all the stuff we had acquired with us. And it was a much easier transition. But once again, still entered into the restaurant industry. And the blogs were going okay, but still about the same, $3,000 to $4,000 a month, not enough to quit my job. So here I was kind of doing a little bit of both. And one day I was working at the restaurant, and the restaurant I worked at was called True Lux. It's in Uptown Dallas, known for their stone crab and steaks. Great, great place if it's within your budget and you're in Uptown Dallas ever. And one day it was the beginning of the dinner shift and it was just getting started. And you know, as a waiter, you get a section, you know, the three or four tables. And if people or guests are seated in your section, you wait on them, right? And if you wait on them and they spend money and they tip you, that's how you make your money, right? So we're sitting there and the restaurant I was working at, it was a two-level restaurant. So the bar was downstairs and the dining room was upstairs. Well, the dining room was, you know, floor-to-ceiling windows, and the windows overlooked the front, which happened to be where the valet was. And so it's, you know, kind of the point where everyone's just waiting for their first table or two. And we see this yellow Ferrari 451 pull into valet. And we're like, okay, hopefully this one sits in my section, right? And so I look out because I had a table right by the window and notice this like 25-year-old kid get out of this Ferrari. It's like, got to figure out what this kid does, man, because he's 25 years old and driving that car. You know, maybe I want to do that. Well, as luck would have it, that kid and his date were seated in my section. And I only call him a kid because I was in my, you know, late 30s at that point, mid to late 30s. And sits in my section, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. Fantastic, you know, nice gentleman. And his date was great. They ordered well, but not crazy. Anyways, at the end of the meal, gentleman gives me his credit card. And I'm like, this guy's driving a Ferrari and he's like 25. I got to figure out who this guy is. So I ran the credit card on the machine and made sure to note his name. I memorized his name. Okay, cool. I'll look that up when I get home. So I gave him the credit card back, thanked him for dining with us, and you know, went on for the rest of my shift. When I got home, I did a YouTube search. It's like, who is Alex Becker? And what I found out was I was flooded with a whole bunch of content, a lot more than I thought I was going to have to do some deep diving. But if you don't know who Alex Becker is, he's probably one of the best digital marketers in the game. At the time, I think he was selling like SEO courses and stuff like that. So it was obviously relevant to my past experience. And you know, he was doing millions, if not tens of millions of dollars online. And he had a huge YouTube channel. So I was like, oh, cool, man. I got to figure out what's going on here. At that point, he became what I call my virtual mentor. And what I mean by that is it's not like I met him for coffee. It's not like I asked him, you know, hey, you know, what do I do? You know, help me, right? You know, like as people sometimes tend to do with successful people. I just studied what he did and I didn't really pay much attention to what he said or was teaching. Instead, I just focused on what he was doing and I modeled what he was doing. And what I quickly realized is I needed to change my model. The blogging wasn't going to cut it. The real money was in creating content, building your audience and your brand through offering value, building trust, and then selling something. And if you can do that at scale, that is the way to go, right? Because it's a lot easier and you can obviously make a lot more money by talking to a lot fewer people. So I was like, okay, cool. What do I do? What do I know? You know what I mean? Let's do this. I'm going all in. I'm going to create a YouTube channel. Well, the part of the story that I skipped is in 2015, I took one of those product review blogs that was sending folks over to Amazon, and I was making 3 to 5% commissions. I said, what if I just take all this traffic I'm getting from this product review blog and I create a dropshipping store? Then I can get like 40% margins and I'll make a whole bunch more money. And I did that. So I created a dropshipping store that had the same products that were on the product review blog. And instead of sending all the traffic to Amazon, I sent all the traffic to my dropshipping store. I started making sales almost instantly because I had that organic search traffic. The margins were much better. Now, instead of making, $3 or $4 on a product, I was making like, $20 to $40 a product. This would be great. Then I quickly realized something. I lost the trust associated with Amazon. So my conversion rate went from like 10% of traffic buying down to like 1.5 to 2% of traffic buying. So that pretty much made up for the difference in margins right there. And then also I had to deal with customer service complaints and shipping and all that crap. So I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So that was a skill though, right? That was a skill. I learned how to do drop shipping. So in 2016, the end of 2016, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do just like Alex Becker. He took a skill, he created courses and then sold them on YouTube. I'm going to sell drop shipping courses on YouTube. That's what I'm going to do. So I created this drop shipping course. It was my first course I ever created. It took me forever. I think the content, like the information was good because I knew what I was talking about. But the production quality was about as bad as you can get. But anyways, I created this course. And then I had this course created and I was like, all right, time to get rich. And I was like, well, who am I going to sell it to? I don't have an audience, right? My like first YouTube video got like 6 views or whatever. So, well, this isn't going to work. Shoot. I was like, all right, what am I going to do? Well, I created this course. Let's give it away for free. See what happens. I can probably generate some leads. Shopify had an affiliate program at the time. I taught dropshipping with Shopify software. So I was like, cool, I'll make at least, 20 or whatever. Yeah, I'll make $29 a sale for everyone who opens a Shopify store. This would be great. So I started giving this Shopify course away and creating micro content that was search friendly on YouTube that would kind of get people started. So someone might ask, how do I start dropshipping? And I would say, hey, here's how you start dropshipping. If you want to learn more, go grab my free course. Well, that worked really, really, really well. I don't know how fast things happen, but I'll never forget. I hit my 1,000th YouTube subscriber on Christmas Day. And that was probably a month and a half after I'd been doing it. And I'll never forget. I kind of walked away from the family with a bourbon and went out back and I just hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. This is really cool. And I was making commissions from Shopify and I was generating leads. And then like within the next few months, I was up to 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. And it was all because I was just giving value, helping people, building trust. People were going through this free course. And not only were they trusting me and my advice because I had given something first, but also what I really realized it with hindsight is a big key to marketing is that people will follow you when they believe you. They will follow you when you build trust, but they're going to buy when they believe in themselves. And that course not only generated leads, not only helped my YouTube channel grow because I was the good guy in the dropshipping industry, but people went through this course and they started thinking, okay, I can do this. So what's the next thing they did? They bought Shopify. That made me a commission. What happens after you buy Shopify? Well, now you need to know how to run ads. So I found Max Finn, who's still big in the game. He's big on TikTok ads right now. He had a cool Facebook ads course. I trusted him. He knew his stuff. So I was like, I'll just promote his Facebook ads course as an affiliate on the back end. And I helped a bunch of people and made even more money. And then I built up this huge list and I started learning how to leverage the list. I think it was September of 2017 now. So about 11 months later, I had since quit my job. And I remember, I never forget, I did a launch to my list and I made $44,000 in 10 days. And since then, it's kind of been a whole nother world for me.
Wow. Just want to cover, talk a little bit about what you just shared. Cause wow, you've just I think since you found Alex Becker, man, a lot of clearly has changed for you. And firstly, what I find interesting about your story, it's almost a journey of right from the end of the restaurant era, going from trading time for money, where you physically have to go to a job, do the work, get paid a check, to slowly progressing over to this point where now you're not trading time for money anymore. Rather, you're getting paid for the value that you put out in the marketplace, which for some people, they're wondering, well, what the heck does that mean? right? And one way that I like to put it is, actually not long ago, I was actually teaching my kids about this. I've got a 9-year-old daughter. I've got a 6-year-old son. And even my son got this. And I was trying to explain to him, like, all right, you know, you can go to McDonald's, get paid, I don't know, just made up a number to make it easier, right? $10 for an hour. You can go to McDonald's, work 10 hours in one day. Obviously, I'm over exaggerating the hours for a kid, but that's going to be $100 for you to work 10 hours in one day. And then I go to my son, and that's kind of what most people do. You know, what you did in the restaurant industry, most people do in their jobs, they're putting in 1 hour and getting a certain amount of money per hour. But then I explain to my son, and it's like, okay, well, what if you sold your toys, right? And clearly for a kid, toys make sense. It's like, what if we sold 100 toys in one day, and each toy cost $100 each, right? And how much did it say? It's $10 and $100 each. And even at 6 years old, I'm like, how much money is that? He thought about it. He's like, $1,000. It's like, wouldn't that be much better? And it might take you maybe 1 hour. Let's say, you're just making things up here.
Maybe, right, nice round numbers,
to
get, yeah.
Yeah, to understand the concept, right? Maybe people come in to pick up the toys within that hour. You sell 10 toys, $100 each, and it's $1,000. And my kids were literally just there going like almost like their minds were blown, my daughter as well, because now they understood the concept. I can go work at McDonald's for 10 hours, get $100, or I can sell 10 toys at $100. It's going to take me less time. I don't have to go, you know, in a hot, sweaty, you know, whatever you call it, like the kitchen and stuff. And I made $1,000 in a day. Anyway, their mind was blown. And I feel that that's kind of the progression that you've had and the power of what we do online, because a lot of people, I mean, they're stuck with their jobs. They want more time freedom. They want to transform their lives. They want to be around their kids and just enjoy life, but they're not able to. So for you going to being able to get to the point where you made, how much was it? $44,000 in how many days did you say?
It was a 10-day product launch.
It was a 10-day product launch, right? And it's literally, once that product is there, it's just a matter of selling it over and over and over, just like when you have toys. It's just a matter of people coming, here's a toy, right? Which I think is an important concept for people to understand, because when you know that you can go from trading time for money to now, you know, and I don't even know what would be the term for it, but you're just selling, I would call it selling value. I don't even know what that concept would be, but it's something that you can create once, a product, doesn't even have to be your own product, and you just sell it multiple times over and over again. And there literally is no limit to how many times you can sell that in a day. And, you know, clearly you crack the code for that, which is just a huge, you know, shift in the way you do things and the way that you earn.
Yeah. And the hard thing, I think, for people, you know, I think a lot about this because I'm always trying to understand the struggles of new folks and, you know, the customer journey, because I teach affiliate marketing now and all that stuff. So I do think a lot about it. And it's hard because, you know, the draw of, say, a $10 an hour McDonald's job is, if you go put 10 hours in today, I mean, with the exception of waiting for the pay period, I mean, you pretty much make your $100 today or whatever. Whereas in entrepreneurship, the results come after the hard work's already done. You know, by the time I was making $44,000 in 10 days, I was really not doing all that much, maybe creating a YouTube video a day, or maybe 3 YouTube videos a week and sending an email. And that was it. But before I saw any return, I created the course, right? I created the YouTube videos. So it is hard to really justify, I think, for the beginner who hasn't seen results yet. But the fact of the matter is it's exponential. Your return, you know, in the beginning, you might make $0 an hour for a long time. But then, you know, someday you might make $1,000 an hour or more.
Exactly. And totally agree with that. It always takes longer. I think this is where a lot of people quit too soon as well. Because, you know, even if you're doing affiliate marketing, which we'll talk about in a sec, which is just selling other people's products, you don't have to get started creating your own. That personally, I don't even recommend that, because for most people, it's way too complex to, you know, set that up. And it could take you months, maybe years to create a product. But then you've created it and you don't know how to market. So it's just like, it just continually extends. So anyway, let's continue with your story, because I think this was a big shift in your life into just realizing, oh my God, I can make money now without having to put as much effort. So how did you progress from that? Because you mentioned that, you know, you teach affiliate marketing now. How did you progress to that?
Yeah. So from there, I did that for a little while, definitely through 2018. And, you know, life was good at that point. Not that it wasn't beforehand and not that it isn't now. I've always just really appreciated my life. But what I meant by that is it was easy. I'd create a YouTube video, write an email, maybe a couple times a week, and money would come in. And every time I launched a YouTube video, because I had this core following and I was giving all the value, I mean, it was crazy. Not only did I have the benefit of timing, right? I was kind of on the forefront of the big dropshipping boom. But it was nuts. I mean, I'd release a video and be like, all right, let's see how long it takes to get to 20,000 views on this one, which is crazy. Even to this day, I don't do that anywhere near those numbers. So it was fun. And then in 2019, I got, like I say, too full of myself, maybe. I don't know. That's what it seems like on the surface. So we'll go with that. And I thought, wow, I'm a genius. I should create courses, maybe because I'm bored, maybe because I didn't think dropshipping would be around forever, even though for some reason it continues to be a thing, but it works for some people. So that's fine. It's just really difficult. It's complex. It's not difficult. It's complex compared to other opportunities like affiliate marketing, which is why, even though I did it, even though I made money with it, even though I taught it, it still baffles me, like all these years later, like affiliate marketing is so much easier. But anyways, in 2019, maybe full of myself, maybe just wanting to create more courses to just try to make all the money in the world. I don't know. I started creating YouTube courses and email marketing courses and brand building courses. And I think they were good. Certainly by the time I got to my fourth course, which was a brand building course, I think that was a really good course. And the reviews and testimonials back that up. But the problem is now all I was doing was selling. And I wasn't truly passionate about email marketing. I wasn't truly passionate about growing a YouTube channel. So that meant I didn't bring it. And what I realized at that point is no one gives a crap about me. And no one gives a crap about you if you're listening as well. And what I mean by that is they might wish you the best, but they only care about what you can do for them. And so if I wasn't, you know, bringing that spark and that passion for the courses I was creating because I didn't have it. And therefore, there was nothing to transfer to other people. I wasn't super passionate about YouTube. I was pretty good at it, but I wasn't super passionate about it. So I couldn't bring the energy. And you have to bring the energy in order to give people that are listening to you or following you the energy first. You got to give them something first. And if it's just energy, if that's all you have to give them, then just give them energy. And they'll take it and they'll feel better about themselves. And they'll be like, okay, let's move forward, right? So that was kind of 2019. Really blew up my successful business. Luckily, you know, we had some money saved up. But I think it seems like, if I remember correctly, and I can't be quoted on this, like I got down to $4,000 in a month, or $4,400 sticks out in my mind for some reason. And that was sometime in 2019. And you know, for some people to make $4,400 online seems like a gift, like amazing. And there were times in my life where $4,400 online would have been a gift and amazing. But when you come from making, you know, 50 and, you know, you buy the cars and, you know, your lifestyle hopefully doesn't get out of control, but it definitely levels up a little bit. You know, it starts to get pretty scary. So I was like, oh shoot, I got to change this. I got to shift. So I was like, all right, well, what's worked in the past? Well, affiliate marketing and creating value and building brand and helping people is what worked in the past, right? So about February of 2020 now, right before the whole world shut down, I was like, all right, I've been hearing about this legendary marketer thing. I had run into Nathan Lucas, who was kind of one of the OGs, a legendary marketer. He did seven figures mostly through YouTube, and I was big on YouTube. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's check this thing out. So prior to February 2020, I sent just a quick email to my list, who wasn't really targeted for the type of education that legendary marketer has or offers. But I was like, let's just see if anybody buys. And I think eight people bought the blueprint. So I think I made just over, you know, $8,000 or $9,000. So I was like, okay, this thing has legs. This thing has potential. So in February 2020, back to the to the story here is when I was like, all right, I'm going all in on Legendary Marketer. I closed all my coaching programs. I fulfilled my promises, but I shut them down as soon as my, you know, 6 weeks or whatever was up. Closed all my courses. It's like, I'm going all in on Legendary Marketer. And I did. And I started with YouTube and helping people and providing value. And I started seeing results. And then at some point, I don't remember exactly when it was, whether it was March or April or whenever it was of 2020, I found TikTok. I don't know what this thing is, but let's give it a shot. And started creating short form content on TikTok for Legendary Marketer.
Before we get into TikTok, I just wanted to cover something because, you know, as you're sharing your story, there's all these things that come up, right? That, you know, people might just miss. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you mentioned is, you know, you went from making $40,000 a month to $4,400 in a month, which I agree. For most people, they, you know, that would be their dream online. But it's interesting because I had a similar story with my business as well that I relate to that I want to share briefly because starting an online business sometimes feels like especially like the marketer's message for a beginner or someone that hasn't got started, feels like that's a cure for everything, right? But it's not always going to be the cure because you got to find yourself, you got to find what you want to do. You're going to have highs and lows. That's just going to come with the territory. And you got to kind of accept that as well. So for me, like 2011, I got started. It was a online network marketing company and I got to $10,000, $20,000 months, right? But I got to a point where, you know, I changed strategies, went to a traditional business and I ended up getting into $180,000 debt because of that traditional business. I ended up declaring bankruptcy in the end after 12 months of running that. And I ended up going back to online business and literally now being, you know, like from so much debt and then going back into an online business and 3 months later, getting to $10,000 a month, like these things can happen, right? And when we get started, there's going to be times where even your own decisions you're going to make, you might think they're the best decisions. And I see it happen a lot. People start with one program, make a lot of money. They go over here and then the whole money is wiped out because they made these not the best decisions. But then I see a lot of people that just completely quit the game forever. And I'm sure you've seen that, Brian, a lot, right? But we are going to go through challenges. You know, there are going to be these ups and downs and you're going to get distracted and shiny object syndrome. But always knowing, like you said in the beginning, if you know that vision that you want in the future for yourself, for your family, but you also have that pain that, well, if I don't make this happen or if I get distracted, but I can still get back to what was working was the big thing you said. It's like, always go back to what was working and just know that no matter what happens, as long as you continue working towards that, it's still going to be better than the pain in your job, right? You're always going to be able to progress forward in your business. So I thought I'd share that because I feel a lot of people, as soon as a challenge happens, people just give up too quickly because they don't understand that there are going to be challenges in online business. There are going to be problems. I like to call them their quality problems because you're still going to have problems in your job, right? Mm-hmm. Your boss, you don't have much time. You're not going to see your kids, but then you have an online business. You're still going to have problems, but then they're quality problems. It's, well, how much money you're making now? You got to pay more tax or, maybe you do get distracted a little bit, which can happen to, I think it happens to everyone, but that is a quality problem because you can always, you know, go back to what was working and continue to grow your business. And then the closing the coaching program, I actually did that as well last year because I had that. And to a degree, I was trading time for money as well. But it's like sometimes you also have to make decisions where you're like, okay, affiliate marketing was working. That's the one thing that was making the most money. And you just have to make these decisions to close other areas of your business. But ultimately, that just ends up resulting, you know, in better results, better, you know, more income, more time, more freedom and all of that. So anyway, just wanted to kind of cover that a little bit. But let's continue, Brian. So from there, TikTok.
Right. Yeah, so I'll talk about TikTok. But one thing I want to mention that you brought up, if I could, is you talk about the challenges. Yeah, in the beginning, you know, go into it knowing there's going to be challenges, but it's worth it. Embrace those challenges because as I've just shown you through my story, the challenges never go away. You've never made it, right? There's always going to be that situation where, hey, you're going to face some bumps in the road and struggles even after you've made X amount of dollars or hit your goal or blew past your goal. So embrace the challenges, and it's part of it, and learn to love it. Learn to become a problem solver and enjoy solving the problems, and you'll be good. So yeah, TikTok came around.
Sorry, Brian, what you just said, that was a gold nugget. Embrace the challenges and love it. Like if someone's watching or listening, write that down, because in what you've said, we get, and I think this happens in school, right? When we go to school, you know, it's like you're supposed to almost be perfect, right? Get these tests and aim for 100%. And if you don't get, you know, all the answers, you kind of, you know, you get B's, C's, and that doesn't feel as good because you didn't get A's. So we kind of get programmed to think that, you know, like avoid problems, avoid, you know, failing in a way. But it's like what you said, it's like embrace it. In fact, expect it and love problems. Because if you love when they come up, I mean, it's not that you want more problems. So you just, but whatever problems come up, if you go, okay, this is an opportunity for growth. This is an opportunity to use my critical thinking skills, develop my problem solving skills, because if I'm able to get through this challenge, it's only going to make me a stronger person. And it's going to allow me to be able to overcome even bigger problems later in the future, which is just going to, you know, continue in that, you know, success moving upwards as well. So anyway, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. And it's really interesting too, to expand, just because I love it, is that the problems, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're going to run a business, or you're become an affiliate marketer, whatever, the problems are what keep you going. Because I can promise you, when it was easy for me, when it's just like, oh, I'll create a YouTube video, get 20,000 views and make a whole bunch of money, you get bored. You're like, it's hard to stay motivated. It's the challenges that you see that keep you going forward. And that's what keep you, you know, growing. And as you said, and making more money. So that's good stuff. But yeah, 2020 April-ish, I discovered TikTok. Still, you know, same thing. I'd been driving traffic to my funnel to promoting Legendary Marketer with YouTube. And let's try this TikTok thing out. And the thing is, the lesson here is not that you should have been here in 2020 TikTok. The lesson here is, in 2020 TikTok, there was nobody to tell me what to do. Right? TikTok was not brand new, but nobody was marketing Legendary Marketer on TikTok for sure. So there was nobody to model. So the lesson here is I had to go figure it out. And I did. And sometimes I joke that, you know, I set the precedent for the way Legendary Marketer is marketed now. And that's too big of a statement, but I had to figure it out, and I did. And when people started modeling, I knew I had something going on. And this time, instead of taking 11 months to get to $40,000 or $50,000, it took me 7 months to get to $40,000 or $50,000, partly because of the opportunity, but also because preparation meant opportunity. I had learned the skills already. I didn't need to relearn the skills. I didn't have to spend 60 or 90 days relearning the skills. I knew how to market. I knew how to be an affiliate marketer. So when the opportunity of TikTok came along, I was ready. So that's why, no matter what you're seeing in the market right now, whether you think it's a good time to start a business or a bad time, you may as well learn the skills, because guess what's going to happen? Something new is going to come along. And what is it Winston Churchill who said, wouldn't it be a shame if, you know, something, the opportunity taps you on the shoulder and you weren't prepared, something along those lines. Anyways, be prepared. That way, when the opportunity does tap you on the shoulder, you can go and make, you know, a bunch of money quickly. So I did that, and, you know, did TikTok.
I just want to say, until it doesn't, because you have had that same experience. So for me, it's like, I was big into Facebook ads and did some YouTube videos, blogging, that sort of thing. And when TikTok came, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. Personally, so when you got started, and you know, there was a few others who were the OGs of TikTok, and it's like, oh, it's not me doing these dances, because that's what it was more back then. And it's like, last year I got into the TikTok and Reels, and I'm like, wow, man, everyone's having success, they're not spending money on paid ads. And I got into it, and one of the things I realized, Brian, was, holy crap, I almost feel like I'm new again, because although I had been here for 11 years roughly, I was realizing, because, you know, the landscape of marketing changes, the platforms change, I had to unlearn so much. And even until today, and that's going to continue to happen, right? Even if you become like the people that are having huge success now, you know, making $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month. If someone's listening or watching to this, take this as a huge tip, because one day in the future, the landscape is going to change again. And if you're making $50,000 a month right now, you're going to get to a point where you're not going to be making that. And it's very easy to be like, oh, just kind of hope, oh, when's it going to go back to the way things were? When's it going to go back to, because that was easier, right? And you're kind of stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people that make a lot of money get kicked out of the game because of that as well. But then what you could realize is, like, if your money ends up going down because the landscape has changed, then that means that you have to change too. You need to almost relearn new skills for, you know, like AI is coming up now as well, and all these other things that might, you know, change everything again. But also you got to unlearn a lot, which is, you know, been a huge lesson for me, which I feel like that's what you're saying as well. And it's always a game. It's an ongoing thing. An analogy, in a way, I was hearing with the AMA in America, right? I'm in Australia, here's in the US. AMA is the American Medical Association. They have a stat that when a doctor goes to college and graduates, the half-life of the body of knowledge of, you know, the medical industry, it doubles every two to four years, roughly. Might even be every 2 years. So the doctor that graduates today and he starts practicing, in 2 years, his knowledge is going to be outdated, right? And that's why they have to continue to, you know, like, update their knowledge, unlearn their past things. And it is the same thing for digital marketing, affiliate marketing, no matter what level you're in.
So, I think that's an excellent point, because if you look at just the landscape right now, I mean, I'm comfortable and I'm building and I'm growing and I'm doing new things. But the fact of the matter is there's people who've, you know, you started in 2011, I started in 2012. There's people who started in 2022 who are making more money than both of us combined. You know what I mean? And that's not to say that I should feel that I'm not doing a great job. We shouldn't compare ourselves to other people. That's the thief of joy, as they say. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they've almost like automatically evolved to another level that maybe we have to unlearn some things in order to, quote unquote, catch back up with them. Because like you said, things change. So it goes back to what we highlighted earlier. You better embrace the challenges, embrace the learning, because here I'm on my, you know, sixth iteration of my affiliate marketing business. And the thing I'm most proud of is the fact that I'm still in the game, and probably for you as well. The fact that we're still in the game is a better testament to our skills or desire to learn new skills than any amount of money we've ever made in a single month, day, or year, you know?
Absolutely. And one other thing as well, based on that, because there's going to be a lot of beginners listening to this, and, you know, they've heard a lot of what you've gone through, and, you know, a lot of people are going to think, oh, do I have to go through all that as well? And what you just said is, like, there actually is, like, I fully believe there is a benefit to being a beginner with zero knowledge. Because when you come into something like this, also, I there was a term I learned a long time ago. It was, what, I've got it, ignorance on fire. That is a term. Because when someone comes to something like this and they're just completely ignorant, not in a bad way, they just don't have the knowledge, understanding of things. And I've seen this happen so many times where I've coached people and they just have this mindset of, oh, I'll just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Whereas someone that's had maybe years, decades of experience, and then you try to coach them, you're like, do this, do that. Their brain's automatically going to go, oh, but I used to do it like this. Oh, but what about that way? Oh, but, you know, 10 years ago, what about that? And it becomes this, there's a lot of resistance for people to try to change. So for anyone that's listening, if you're a beginner and you're not sure if you can succeed because you need to learn a lot of technical things and advanced things, trust me, and I'm sure Brian would probably agree, you have a bigger benefit to creating even bigger success than I or Brian, because you're going to learn what it takes to create success in a simple way, and you don't have all this past stuff that you need to unlearn. So a beginner, like you said, Brian, I mean, you know, well, I think it's Becca is one of the marketers right now, made $600,000 in about 6 months roughly, which, you know, it seems unrealistic, but it is real. I've got to give a disclaimer, right? Results are not average results, because she put in the work and the effort and all of that. But I haven't even done that. But for someone that just has zero experience with marketing, and what we're talking about, they can just plug into a simple system, follow some simple steps, which I know, you know, you've got a great program for that as well, Brian, which we'll talk about soon, right? That is an advantage, right? An unfair advantage, right? So anyway.
It's incredible. And, you know, I notice that sometimes, you know, through my program, it's, you know, you can definitely tell the difference between a beginner who comes in and says, I need to know what to do and I'll do it. And then I have people who've been kind of in the game for 5, 6, 7, 10 years who, you know, have seen some success, but maybe not the success that they desire. And like you say, they bring up all these things that were relevant maybe in 2014 that are just no longer relevant and probably even detrimental to your business. You know what I mean? And so it is interesting. But you know, when you're talking about people who see success, and this is something that popped in my head that I kind of want to share because I'm a big believer in this, is, you know, sometimes people just look at the money and they follow the money. And obviously, if you're going to get coaching or you're going to get training or you're going to model somebody, you want to model people who've been successful, right? Don't model somebody who's making $5,000 a month and expect to make $5,000 a month. You probably make 10% of whatever, you know, your mentor's making, perhaps. But look at what they're doing to make that money as well. Because I know, and this is not a cut, this is just a personal preference. I know there's people out there, even with Legendary Marketer, who are doing incredible numbers, but they're doing it in a way that I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to spend 5 hours in the DMs every day. It's just not in line with my life. So the point is, or the lesson is, yeah, find successful people to model, but find successful people who are doing it the way you want to do it. Choose your life first, or choose your dream life first, and then build your business around it. Because I've built my business in a way that, you know, it relies on automation, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. That is a huge point, huge, huge point. And you know how I was saying I had a lot of things to unlearn? Kind of want to build on that point because I think it's very important, because there's that difference between building a business where you have to still trade time for money, even though you're making a lot of money, but you're putting in a lot of effort. That's the way I did it early on with network marketing many years ago. It's like you had to generate leads. They weren't even good quality leads because you didn't even have a brand, having to get on the phone, interview people that 99% of them were not interested, send them information, follow up. You might remember the dinosaur strategy. I don't know if you ever did network marketing of three-way calls, where then you've got to get on a call with your prospect and your upline, the mentor, and oh my God, just talking about it, right? But that's what I had to do. That's how I made money. And then transitioning into, you know, digital marketing, online marketing, that's been like one of those huge things that's been really hard for me to let go. And it's still a work in progress. But anyway, so when I transitioned from not doing things on the phone, then I started listening to people, like, okay, go on the DMs, speak to people, reach out to people, and spending a lot of time with that. And even last year and even earlier this year, I did spend a lot of time in that. And man, it's like, yes, you can make money that way, but again, it's not very enjoyable that you have to spend more time doing more work to make money. And in the search for answers, and I asked you about this and Andre, which is your podcast partner as well, this is like about how do you automate things more? Because the people that you ask questions to, everyone has a different philosophy, strategy, way of doing things. And, you know, I ask lots of leaders, how do you do it? How do you do that? And I got some people who say, you want to DM like this, or you want to send audio messages in your DMs. And I asked someone else and they're like, oh, well, you know, when people get into your email list, get them to go book on a calendar and then you can get on the phone with them. And it's very easy for you to go, oh, I have to listen to them and them and them and them just because they're having success. But I've had to really delineate and find that balance. Okay, so they gave me some good tips, but I might take this and leave that. And this person take this and leave that. And then I had a conversation with you and Andre, and you said, well, you know what, Alex, I don't spend any time on the phone. And then just the fact that you said that, you didn't say much about what you do to not spend time on the phone or on the DMs. But just that belief and certainty in that you said it made me go, right? Like it kind of just shifted something in me. Sometimes you just need to feel that certainty and belief for you to go, okay, you know, kind of break the old beliefs. But then going on to automation, right? You don't have to spend time in the DMs. You don't have to spend time on the phone. So share with us, Brian, and people listening, like, what's your strategy? Because I know you don't do that, but you're still making good money to just live an amazing life. I know you travel with your family and do all these things as well. Like, what's that process to do not do all that?
You know, absolutely. I'll give some tangible stuff here that I think will help. But yeah, like you mentioned it right there. It's just the belief that it changes everything. It's really the difference maker. You got to find something to believe in and a way to believe in yourself and your ability. You know, I heard Russell Brunson talk about, you know, tell the story about the 4-minute mile. You know, it was the benchmark. It was the brick wall, I guess I should say. No one could run a sub-4-minute mile, whatever year this was. And then someone did it. And then like 5 people did it or whatever, right? Because it was the belief that it could be done. You know, I saw this in real life the other day. We have good family friends who live across the creek from us, and the creek, just down the creek, if you walk the banks, it opens up into a pond. And the oldest is, he's 13, and so he fishes down there a lot, and he's never really caught the big fish or whatever. And then the other day I took my kids down there, and we saw them down there, and we were just chatting a little bit and fishing, and then they left to go home, you know, hit those two kids, him and his brother. And then me and my kids stayed for a few more minutes, and I caught a huge fish and sent a picture to his mom so he could see it. No kidding. The next day he sent a picture back to, you know, his mom sent a picture back to me. He caught a huge fish. And it was just like, he had to believe that they were in the pond there. He had to believe that you could pull one out of there, and he did. And so it's crazy. But anyways, yeah, to get back to the point, you know, not spending time in the DMs, you know, there's really a couple of ways I look at this. First of all, you have to still build trust, right? That's really what being in the DMs is all about. It's like, people just want to hear it from somebody. I want to know that there's somebody there who will support me, right? I know that I want to know this is real. I want to hear it from somebody, not just sales copy. So you have to figure out how to do that at scale. That's why I always give away free courses, right? Like, that's what it does. Not only does it generate a whole bunch of leads and help your content perform better because people are engaging with your content because you're not trying to sell anything up front. I don't always do it, but that's what I'm doing right now. And, but you know, when they go through that course, it builds the trust and it builds the belief in the prospect. They're like, okay, I can do this. So really it's all about pre-selling. When you're doing this at scale, there, you know, the pre-selling is everything. Building the trust, building the belief, building the know, like, and trust factor, you know, highlighting the opportunity, right? Painting the picture of the not so glossy future if they don't take action, right? What's the cost of not taking action? You have to do those things. Those are like the tangible things that you have to do at scale, whether that be through your content, through your free course that you're giving away, through your ebook, if you're giving away an ebook, through your email marketing, through your Facebook group, if you're creating a community, right? Those are the kind of the things that you have to do. But then the other thing you have to do is be a little bit more patient. And what I mean by that is, if you're selling belly to belly, as they used to call it, right? Salesman walks in, knocks on the door, and looks them straight in the eye face to face. Like, you're trying to come away with that sale right there. And so you're going to use pressure tactics, right? Maybe some urgency. Hey, I'm going to leave if you don't buy this right now, and I'm never coming to your door again. You know, whatever. There's sales tactics. What I mean by patience is, all right, you have your email list where you can communicate with people. You have people who are following your brand and your content where you can kind of communicate with people at scale. And there's going to be people hanging on the sidelines. And you have to be patient enough to know, like, okay, cool. In month one, I might generate 100 leads and get 100 followers. Now I've got 100 people on the fence. Maybe two of those people are going to buy. Well, two commissions a month is, you know, $500 to $2,000, depending on how much the product is that you're promoting. Not life-changing money. But if you keep going, right, and still provide value, still bring it, be patient, still overcoming objections, rebuilding beliefs in themselves, you know, just through different angles. Then by, you know, month six, now you got 600 or 6,000 people who are kind of on the fence, and eventually hit an inflection point where it's like, I've got 60,000 people or 20,000 people who are on my email list, and they're all been on the fence for 6 months. Guess what? Then you just start getting buyers, and a few buyers here and there ends up being a lot of buyers here and there. So it's kind of a combination of doing the marketing things and then just being patient. And that's really what it comes down to. And then keep showing up. And then finally, like, also having abundant inventiveness is kind of my new buzzword. when you're promoting something and you have a list of people who've been hearing the same message about the same product for 6 months now, they get like ad blindness or they start to tune out. It's like when you drive to work every day and, you know, by 6 months of driving to work, you don't even notice the gas station that's on the left or the horse farm that's on the right. It just all becomes like just autopilot, right? Well, that's what's going to happen with your messaging when they see your emails again and again and again. So you have to kind of create a new way to get people excited, a new front door. Like, for example, right now I'm doing a case study where I'm taking a new Instagram account from zero to $2,500. Why? Do I want to make a bunch of money with this new Instagram account? No. I want to prove to people that it's possible by showing them a new angle. And that's the abundant inventiveness. So, you know, objections, beliefs, but, you know, new front doors and patience, I think really sums it all up.
Yeah, I think that's very powerful because, yeah, there's two ways you can do it. I mean, I've done that, the DMs, and yeah, that does produce results, you know, because you can, it's a lot more time, but you go to like, you know, follow ups and the info, did you watch it? Follow up again. Eventually I got questions, you can get on the phone with them, you can answer them, and then you can make one sale. But like the effort to get to there is a lot. And then when you kind of, I think it's the word, extrapolate that across a lot of other people, then it's a lot of effort. But that's what I'm finding as well. It's like, I'm seeing, like we said, all these newer people that are just like skyrocketing their success within a few months, right? It's 3 months, 6 months. And here I am, I've transitioned more to the you know, at scale and automated things. And it's like, it's very hard to see that because, you know, like for example, in my process, I created a new ebook recently because that just adds more value, created this webinar and, you know, creating like group coaching sessions that I'm doing for free in my Facebook group. But putting all that, it's taken a lot of effort, but I've had this picture in my mind that in the future, as I'm generating leads, that's going to convert those people when they're ready. But in that, the patience that you got to have, it can be a little bit painful because then you're seeing this person, it's like, bang, money, 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 right? And sales like here and there. And you're kind of like, I guess it's like that's not a good analogy. It's like the hare and the
tortoise and the hare. Yeah.
The tortoise and the hare. Right.
Yeah.
But that kind of, no, I don't think that analogy plays right, but I guess in a way it does, except, you know, the hare can still make money and finish quicker, but it's like when you're the tortoise, it can take a little bit longer, but ultimately, you know, on the other end, things are going to be probably more fulfilling because you're going to be spending less time and more time with your family and all that. So for me, I'm in that process right now.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's so interesting, but giving yourself that time, that patience, because it allows people to start trusting you over time. And then, you know, eventually I have seen this with other people as well, where they've made, you know, sales here and there. And then after a year or so, boom, they have their $100,000 a month. Because they were patient and they didn't know what they were doing, but because they just consistently kept adding value and following that process, then things just happen all of a sudden. And, you know, they're just like, what the heck? Like, where did this come from? Right. So that's an amazing.
Yeah. Tip. It's pretty amazing. It really comes down to like the other way to look at it is a principle that we know is true in life. Like the longer you can delay gratification, the better it's going to be. Right. Like, DMs, right? You go make $1,000 sale tomorrow, but people tend to stop wherever they first see success. So where's the future in that? Well, you know, DMs. Whereas if you can just like, hey, I'll be a little bit more patient and build up this trust with this bigger following, then, you know, after it hits, so to speak, you still have to reinvent yourself from time to time. But it is kind of like that tortoise walking through the park and kind of just casually, comfortably meander through and you know, go about your business and still win the race, so to speak.
And being okay with that. I think that's the biggest one, because a lot of people, and I've experienced it myself, being that tortoise, is sometimes a little bit painful because you just want to be at just that huge level of success that you're aiming for. But when you're not there, it's, what's that saying? It was expectations. It's expectations is what kills dreams or something. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But it's just like when you let those expectations go and just follow the process and allow that to happen over time, you know, that's where you're surprised with the results that you can really create. So that's
it's interesting. I've proven this time and time again. How long does it take, right? That's always the question. How long is it going to take to make money, right? Well, I'll tell you, if you kind of know what you're doing, it'll take about 6 months. If you kind of don't know what you're doing, it might like take 12 or 15, right? But I can promise you this, however long it takes, right? It takes as long as it takes. Once you get there, you're not going to care how long it takes. It took me 4 years to quit my job. Do I care now? Heck no. Just glad I did. And I haven't had to go back. That's great.
I'm the same too. It took me, I think, about 3 years to quit my job, roughly. But it's just like, in hindsight, you go, oh, that was easy. 3 years. You know, if I have to do that again, I'll do it again. But when you're new,
that's exactly
it's right. Like, I thought I would be $20,000 per month in 2 months. But because you're not thinking long term, and you think it's going to happen within a few weeks, a few months. And then again, that's why many people quit, right? But it's like, you know, it's the same, a thing I like to say. It's just like, give yourself at least 2 years, right? At least 2 years to learn, put in your effort. And then if you're like wondering, you know, like, or like questioning yourself, I'm like, wow, 2 years isn't a long time. I love to, you know, say, well, ask yourself, where are you going to be in 2 years anyway, right? Because you can just continue doing this thing and continue learning and getting better and improving. But if you quit, you're still going to be in that sucky job that you don't like with the boss that you hate and not seeing your kids and coming home at 7 p.m. at night. So it's just like, man, just choose your heart, right? Just choose your heart.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and eventually you'll get there and you will. And I think that's why people give up too, because they come in with expectations. Like you said, if I'm going to make $100,000 in a month, and then they don't make any money in the first 3 weeks. And, you know, I just heard Dave Sharp say this, is they end up giving up before the miracle happens. And how sad is that? You know, they probably don't realize, hey, if they would have just done another 3 weeks, they probably would have hit their breakthrough. Or if they would have done another 3 weeks a couple times, so 6 weeks, 9 weeks, you know, 3 months, whatever. And eventually it happens, and then you don't care how long it took. But you got to keep going and stay motivated, right? That's the thing. And it just kind of popped into my head. You have to bring the same enthusiasm you had on day one on day 30 when you haven't got the results yet, because you have to transfer something to somebody. And if you don't believe in something, or you don't have excitement or motivation about something, then why the heck would your prospect have motivation or excitement about it? You know, you have to transfer something to them. So you got to come, you got to bring it.
Have the perfect analogy for that. All right. So you're married, right? You've had, I'm not sure, girlfriends, right? It's like when you enter in a relationship, right? As a man, especially as a man, right? And women will understand this. You would do anything for her. It's like, honey, can you take out the trash? Yeah, I'll go take out the trash for you. Yeah, right?
Hey, honey, picking flowers on the way back and, you know, really going over the top. Yeah.
Can you go pick up all the clothes that you left on the bedroom floor? Yeah, I'll go pick up my clothes and put them in the laundry, right? And then like a few months go by, a year go by, and then you've got your girlfriend or, you know, your spouse, whatever. Hey, honey, can you go take out the trash? Oh, she's telling me again. Oh, no, what do I have to do that? Can you go pick up that clothes? Oh, right. This is like that energy changes for a lot of people, right? And not speaking from experience here or anything. but, you know, that energy changes. But then what happens is that's where the breakdown in relationships happen as well. You know, marriages and, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever. And I heard Tony Robbins say this once, which I recommend from, you know, to go learn about the mindset and success aspect of things. But I heard him say, it's just like, if you're having issues in your marriage, well, start being the person that you were when you first met your spouse. Because when you met them, you came with this energy, you do anything for them, right? You would take out the trash, you would pick up, you know, that clothes off the floor or whatever, anything you had to do. Why? Because you love that person. And you would do anything for them. And if you just did that in your marriage would improve and you'd have the most amazing marriage you'd ever have, which is the exact same thing when it comes to online business. Except with a business, you know, you're married to your business, right? That's your relationship here that you're building. It's just like, you're going to be excited, but continue to have that throughout, you know, your business, even when challenges happen. Right. So for example, with me and my wife, when, you know, challenges come up for everyone, but when challenges come up, we've rewired our brains that when things are challenging, it brings us closer. We need to communicate more. We need to talk about what's happening. We need to make decisions. We need to do some research. We need to figure out how can we improve our lives. Same thing in business. When, you know, if you're married to your business, that's your relationship in terms of making money. And when challenges happen, it's like, okay, how can I get closer to my business, not further away, and figure out, you know, where's the business breaking down? Where is there, you know, leaky holes in the bucket? And how can I, you know, patch those holes up and get new knowledge to, you know, overcome more and create more and achieve more and have that energy? So like you're saying, it's anyway.
Yeah.
That's just and, powerful.
You know, and it's like the emotional bank. And I don't know what book this is in. It's one of the books I have, but it's like, you know, when you're talking about your kids, like if you just, you know, wait till they're 16 and then ask them to trust you and speak to you, it's not going to happen. But if you spend 16 years being supportive and not overreacting to silly things and stuff like that, and, you know, teaching them and showing love, and then guess what? When they're 16, you know, I know it doesn't always go this way, but you know, they're their own people, but for the most part, they will talk to you when they need help, and they'll trust you and stuff like that, and listen to you about 10% of the time, for what I understand. But yeah, you know, you gotta put the work in. You gotta put the deposits in before you make the withdrawals, I guess is the best way to put it. And the same thing with a business. You gotta put the deposits in. And what I found, kind of, you know, as we, you know, approach an hour and 15 minutes here, so thanks to anybody who's still listening, is the one thing that you know, if you're stuck and you're like, I'm trying the content and I'm not really generating the leads and the funnel's not converting, it's like, like that can be very overwhelming, and you can get tempted to tinker. I need to change the button colors. Maybe I need to change the headline, right? And yeah, that's part of the incremental increase in results that you can get as a marketer. But if it's just like not working, just see who you can help. Help one person and you'll build momentum. And offer more value, and more people will be attracted to you. And that's really what it comes down to, is you'll realize like the button colors and the headlines, like that's incremental. That'll take you from, you know, a 3% conversion to a 3.25% conversion. But to go from 0 to 2% conversion or whatever you're hoping to get, like that's just helping people and making the deposits before you make the withdrawals.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. Yeah, you mentioned hour and 15 minutes. Wow. I think we've been delivering a lot of value here. So, you know, I hope you guys are taking, you know, lots from this. I mean, it's been some real gold nuggets dropped here. But let's finish this up soon, Brian. Just wanted to ask you, all right. So, you know, we've delivered a lot and, you know, you've been around the block a few times. You've created some huge success. So what advice would you give to someone who's just getting started but hasn't had a breakthrough yet? All right. And then on the other side of the coin, someone who's already having success but wants to take their business to the next level. So let's say multiple six figures or even seven figures. So the beginner and then someone that wants to just, you know, really up their game.
Yeah. So for the beginner, you know, I think we covered it, but let's highlight a few points. And, you know, first of all, you still got to bring it after day, you know, week three and no results, right? You got to continue to bring it. So maybe just temper expectations. And how do you do that, right? What's the actionable step that you can take? Okay, well, I think counting every single win, right? And verbalizing every single win if it makes sense for your business. Hey, I found the product I'm going to promote. It's so amazing. This is the greatest product because ABCD. If you happen to be teaching affiliate marketing like I do, you know, if you're in the weight loss niche, be like, oh my God, I found this product and it's the best herbal supplement because, and get really excited about it. That's a win. Oh, I built my funnel. Oh my gosh, I never thought I could build my funnel. That's a win. Oh my gosh, I created my first piece of content. I was so nervous. I looked like a hostage on camera, but I did it, right? That's a win. Oh my gosh, I generated my, you know, first lead. That's a win. I've been doing this for 3 weeks. I don't have any commissions yet, but I'm still showing up every single day, right? That's a win. Like, so count all your wins and share them if it makes sense for whatever product that you're promoting. So that's kind of the best advice I can give to a beginner. And remember that, like, you're not going to care how long it took, you know, once you made it or whatever, right? Embrace the challenges. I think we said, you know, and learn to love them. Learn to love solving problems, because that's what's going to set you apart, is your ability to solve problems. Courses will give you a framework. They'll help keep the distractions away. They'll help guide you down the right path. They'll show you where some of the pitfalls are. But you know, at some point, you're going to have to do some thinking for yourself. And when you do some thinking for yourself, like I referred to when I kind of came onto TikTok and there was nobody to show me what to do. Like, those are the when you get the big, massive breakthroughs. It's like, oh, I just tweaked this just a little bit and it works so much better, right? That's not to say you shouldn't follow what's working, but like when you make those tiny little tweaks and things take off, like that's when you can go from making nothing to making $40,000 in a month or $100,000 in a month or $300,000 in a month. Like I think Becca did, she did in 37 days or whatever. So that's kind of the beginner stuff for the, you know, the experienced marketer who maybe is, you know, hit six figures and wants to go further. There's a couple of things and we kind of touched on one. The first thing is what works will not continue to work forever. And so you have to bring that abundant inventiveness, right? Not necessarily promote a new product if you're an affiliate, not necessarily trash your product if you're creating products and start again, because that's not usually the answer. Because then you disregard all those tens or thousands or tens of thousands of people who are on the fence, but just bring them through a new door. How can I make this exciting again? How can I help build their belief again? And then beyond that, like once you figure that out, like make sure you're doing things that scale, right? Like that's important, right? You know, I said that sometimes people will stop at the first sign of success. And if that's in the DMs, that's great. You know, if your goal is to make $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month, that might make the most sense for you. I don't know. If you don't mind doing it, if you don't mind being available all the time, even though you don't have to work anymore. I personally don't want to be available all the time. When I go on vacation, I don't post a bunch of content. I'm like, we're on vacation and we go on vacation 6, 7, 8 times a year. And these aren't like weekends. We go away for a long time. So anyways, make sure that you're doing things that scale. And it's usually harder in the beginning to do things that scale versus the one-to-one or whatever, but be okay with that, right? Like be like, okay, do I need to shift my business so I can actually hit my goals? Okay. Now I got to learn how to sell at scale. Okay. That might be that's a lot more difficult than selling in the DMs. I promise you it is, but then you learn it and you're like, okay, I can do this. And that's the best piece of advice I think I can give there.
That's amazing. Could you give us one or two quick examples of what selling at scale could be?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, it kind of goes back to those things that we have to do to actually sell. Like when we're selling at scale, it's pretty much people are making their mind up before they hit the checkout page, right? Like we don't have to worry like too much about, you know, the testimonials that we have on the checkout page, even though you should probably have them for incremental increases. They have to be sold before they get there. And once again, the way we do it is overcoming objections, showing opportunities. But most importantly, that I've discovered over the last couple of years with hindsight, is you really have to build a belief in the prospects that they can do this, right? Like the most common objection, or one of the most common objections, is it won't work for me because it won't work for me because I'm not good on camera. It won't work for me because I'm not tech savvy. It won't work for me because I'm just it won't work for me because I'm just a dad, just a single mom, just a whatever, you know. It's like excuses. Okay. But what can we learn from those excuses is that people don't believe in themselves. What happens if people start to think, okay, maybe this will work for me, I can do this? Then they're going to go buy. Because why would they not? They believe in themselves. So any way you can help people believe in themselves is really a key component of selling at scale. You know, like I like to give funnels away for affiliate because it's one of the biggest objections is I can't do this because I'm not tech savvy. Okay, well, here's a funnel. It works. Here's an email follow-up sequence. I wrote it for you. You can build it on free software, and I'm going to give you this 42-minute training video that shows you step-by-step how to set it up. I'll tell you the product that you're going to have to promote, right? So all you got to do is share your stories and talk about your journey with the product and drive traffic there. Can you think you can do that? Okay, I could probably do that. And then they buy, right? And so that's kind of like what I think is selling at scale. And also, one day I wrote, down. You know, I really dug deep and looked into my Alex Becker mentorship, virtual mentorship. I was like, all right, what are like the one or two things that I need to do that generate the revenue? And this is kind of an alternate route than the things I just mentioned, right? Being patient, overcoming objections, new front doors. A more direct route that doesn't necessarily work better, but can, is content and webinars, right? Like, if you can create a killer webinar and drive traffic to it, things are going to work out and you'll be able to sell at scale.
I think that's powerful. Like, both those things, as you mentioned too there. So the way I see it is, you know, like, if you're making six figures already, you would have skills and the ability, I have something to learn, to maybe create your own basic course or something that you can, doesn't even have to be a basic course, could be a YouTube video that's unlisted. And then you just give them a Google Doc with the funnel they can import and all those resources to make things easier for people, because then they don't have that excuse. Then the other thing you just mentioned is the content and the webinars, which I actually just finished a webinar last week for, you know, I promote Legendary Marketer as well. And you know, for me, that's been a huge, I haven't launched it yet, but I can already see it's a huge game changer, because you can answer objections and everything. Like, if you were having a one-to-one conversation in a DM and the person was like, okay, but what about this? Oh, but I don't know if I can do it. Oh, but I don't have the money, or but I don't have the time. And you have to go back and forth answering those questions. It's like, when you know what those objections are, you can create a webinar, overcome all of those objections of the webinar while adding value. So by the time someone's at the end of the webinar, all those objections are gone and they're ready to purchase, sort of thing. And that's one to many, instead of just doing that one to one and then you're spending a ton of time with individual people, right?
100%, so, right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think that's an important point, is what you just said about writing that webinar is I really wanted to jump on that before we got off track, is because you said, you know, hey, now I can overcome objections and reframe beliefs and all that stuff at scale, right? But how do you know those things? Because you started to understand your avatar or your ideal customer, probably through all that time you spent in the DMs. And I just wanted to bring that up because I kind of trashed the DM strategy a lot. And so because what I actually teach in my program is that in the beginning, right, do all the hard stuff first and then start whittling away at it until you can get it down to just a couple easy things. There is so much value. And in the beginning, I know that's like, especially the people I attract, they don't want to be in the DMs because I don't want to be in the DMs, and you attract people who are kind of like you. But what I'm saying is, in the beginning, when you're creating content, you don't have a lot of followers. There's so much value in just actually talking to people and being available. I still try to answer every single one of my emails. It can give you that first big commission, which can be a huge boost to your ego, to your belief system, to your content, because you can leverage that if it makes sense for the product that you're promoting. But the more selfish reason is, you learn so much about your customer avatar through talking. And what you're going to do is you're going to see, like, oh, there's only like six questions that all the people have for this product. So I can just answer those in my first six automated emails. Like, you're creating an automated email campaign, you don't know what to write. Yeah, just answer the questions, right? Answer the objections. And so there is a lot of value in actually talking to people in the beginning, or when you're promoting a new product, and then just figure out how to automate it.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll finish up soon, but there's only like about four or five general objections too, by the way, for anyone that's listening to it. I'm just going to give it to you guys. And these are it. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Brian mentioned the other one. I don't know if I can do this, or it seems too hard. Right? And then there's some other, the other one is, I go to speak to my spouse, right? I need their approval to do it, which is generally a result of them not believing that they can do it too, right?
They're looking for validation, yeah.
An excuse, looking for validation for not making their own decision based on it. Those are generally the big ones. And then there's some small ones in terms of marketing, which could be, do I have to create videos? I hate selling. I actually got a list I created the other day as well. So it's like, you know, I hate selling. Do I have to buy the products is a big one as well. Like, do I have to spend money on things? No one will buy from me, or why would anyone buy from me? And another one is, So I'm not an expert. I don't have a following, right? And I think those are pretty much the general objections that people are going to have. I mean, we're not going to have the time here to actually cover them, but
let's cover a couple really quickly. What do you think? You want to cover a couple really quickly? All right. So I just from what I've seen, so I'm not an expert, right? Big objection. I think it's the last one you mentioned. Great. You have a beginner's advantage, right?
Which we covered already, right?
Right. So, you know, you're going to learn a product or promote the product. Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is learn the product. So just, you know, recite back what you've learned. What's going to happen? It's going to get people excited, and then they're going to be like, "Where do I learn more?" Oh, here's the product. You just made a commission. You know, tech savvy. I can't do this, right? Giveaway funnels, right? That takes the load off. Makes the things easier. I don't have the money. You know, it is a tricky one. There's a bunch of ways to do it. But what's really interesting is when they say, "Do I have to buy the product in order to be successful with it?" And that's kind of a variation of I don't have the money. And I always say, hey, imagine you're going to go buy a Mercedes. And that's a little cool marketing trick is say, imagine you're going to go buy a Mercedes. Now they're like, oh, I would love a Mercedes. Maybe I should do this thing to start. Anyways, imagine you go buy a Mercedes. What if you walked in that door and you said, hey, does this come in any color leather other than black? And the salesperson said, I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, is this a V6 or a V8? What happened if the salesperson said, I don't know. Would you ever in a million years go buy the car from that person? Absolutely not. So the salesman, you know, has to know the product. So yeah, you should probably buy the product that you're promoting is a good one that works. And then the last one that I thought of is when, you know, people say, you know, I got to go ask my spouse, you know, just turn it around and be like, well, has your spouse been researching affiliate marketing for 6 months? No. Of course they're not going to be interested. They haven't done the research like you. They don't understand the opportunity like you because you've been doing the research. So of course they're not going to be, you know what I mean? And it's kind of turn around and be like, hey, you got to make the decision for yourself. And I hope maybe that'll overcome, you know, some of the problems with looking for the validation and so on.
I want to mention another one about that, the spouse, because I just found the spouse one. Like, there's two variations here. It's like, oh, I got to go check with my spouse. I got to run it through him, or I got to do some research. I feel they're both very similar in some respects. And I love what you said, because I've used that as well. I've also used the opposite of that, because a lot of people do use that. Like, oh, you know, like you got to make your own decision as well, right? There's variations to that. I've used... Sure, absolutely. Definitely go, you know, ask your spouse, you know, do as much research as you can, because I want to make sure that if I'm going to be, you know, investing some time into helping you, you know, build your business, that you know that this is going to be the right decision for you. That's right. Worked so good for me, because when everyone else is also saying, you know, you got to make a decision, why do you have to speak to your spouse and variations? And then you go, oh, absolutely. You know, do all the research you want. You know, you can find information on YouTube, on Google, you can go on the company website and have a look at the products there. People go, oh, this person isn't trying to sell me. They're actually empowering me to do what I already said. Right. And because you've said, you know, if I'm going to be spending time with you, and obviously there's different ways you can spend that time, but if I'm going to be spending time with you to help you grow your, you know, to help you launch and grow your business, they go away thinking, okay, this person didn't sell me. This person didn't try to like change my mind about what I wanted to do. And they're committed to spending time with me. And right. Literally, I've had people come back the next day, boom, $5,000 sale.
Right. And I think that's when you're selling courses and coaching and stuff, people just want to make sure that the money they invested, that someone will be there on the other side to take care of them. And if you can show people ahead of time that you're going to take care of them, then they'll be like, all right, things will work out. Because, you know, people love spending money. They just don't want to get ripped off. And I think that's part of the reason that amazing overcoming of the objection works so well.
So yeah, that was awesome. And I think so many people would have got so much value from that. Guys, this is stuff you can use, whether you're in the DMs, speaking with people on the phone, even on webinars and doing that at scale, you can overcome these objections in, you know, some of the ways that we've mentioned. But I think that's a very powerful thing I think we've given there, because that's one of the biggest things that holds people back from actually, you know, closing that sale. So awesome, Brian. That's a lot. So, hey, I think that wraps up this episode. You know, thank you so much, Brian. I mean, you've given a ton of value here. But before we go, just could you share with us what is the best way people can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Podcast, which we were going to talk about. So
Yeah, I'll just give you the lowdown really quickly. I mean, you know, my name is Brian Brewer. You know, if you can't find me online, I'm not doing a very good job. I do have the free course, which I think we briefly alluded to. It's the 90-minute affiliate challenge, and I think Alex will have a link for you if you want it. It's an 8-module free course, and it will really just kind of show the way that I do affiliate marketing now, but also the way that I think the most beginners are having success. And there's specific reasons why.
So that link is alexfordpodcast.com/Brian. Again, that's alexfordpodcast.com/Brian for those that are listening.
Awesome. Perfect. And then, yeah, the podcast is what I'm, you know, really excited about right now. This is a newer podcast. We just launched episode 25. It's my partner, Andre Germachev, who's another 7-figure affiliate, and myself. We started this after Funnel Hacking Live 2022. We decided to just go for it, and we did. We're on episode 25. Alex was on. Great episode. It was episode 13, I believe. So go ahead and search that. You can find us on all the major podcast platforms or evolvedmarketingpodcast.com, which I see is on the screen right now. Or you can find us on YouTube as well. We just started releasing daily clips as well as the full episodes every single Wednesday at 8 a.m. Central Time. And I think that's a great place to come over and get those golden nuggets that you might need to supplement your success. So I do appreciate you having me on, Alex. I appreciate the fact that you came on our show and shared a bunch of knowledge. I still think you have the coolest studio of everyone we've been on, maybe a couple other guys who had some cool stuff too, but I appreciate everyone who's listened in as well.
Awesome. No, I appreciate that. And thank you for having me as well on your podcast. Definitely go check it out, guys. I think it was episode 13, roughly. That was a lot of fun as well. Just you'd be able to deliver a lot of value. And leading on from this, I mean, I'm on that podcast, on that episode with Brian and Andre. So if you guys have time, go check it out now. I would highly recommend it. Not because it's me, but I just feel that there is a lot of value on there. And now that you know who Brian and Alex is together, I think it just makes sense to go listen to that. And once you listen to that, you're also going to fall in love with that podcast. Trust me, it's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's a great episode too, because some people who listen to your podcast or follow you, you're going to see a different Alex on that podcast. And it's a good Alex, so go check it out. But it's going to be a different Alex because he was the guest, and it's a little bit different when you're the guest versus you're the host. So definitely go check it out. You know, I think you'll love it.
Totally. Awesome. Again, that's evolvedmarketingpodcast.com. And just another shout out as well to his 90-minute affiliate course. I've been through it. It's free. It's amazing. It's alexfordpodcast.com/Brian. And I just wanted to mention, Brian does have other paid options as well, more additional courses that go deep into things. But you know what, guys? Don't even worry about that. Go get the free course, fall in love with that. And what I love about Brian is he's all about helping people get results. Like, that course is actually designed not to just get theory in your head. There's actionable stuff that you can take, go implement, get results. And one day, if you wanted to purchase something that was, you know, an additional, more advanced product, you can do that. But, you know, at the moment, it's one of the best free courses that I've seen around. So alexfordpodcast.com/Brian. All right, so that wraps up the episode. You've been hanging out with Brian and myself, Alex Ford. Again, Brian, thank you so much for all the value you've given. I mean, there was a ton on here. I think people could listen to this over and over again and just get more from it over, you know, every time they listen. But yeah, thank you so much. Brian, I wish you plenty more success, and hopefully we'll catch up to all these newbies soon, eh?
Yeah, exactly. They keep us motivated, right? They set the new benchmark and kind of maybe destroyed some of the false beliefs about what was possible strictly with organic. But yeah, thanks again, Alex. I appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see y'all soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Alex Ford Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit alexfordpodcast.com. For more free resources on how to build a 6- or 7-figure online business and turn your digital marketing dream into a profitable and rewarding full-time career. And if you love this podcast, remember to subscribe and follow Alex on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.